praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. And I do give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And the Lord bless those that came. And maybe not many, but the Lord bless those that came. And you know, it's God that has to bring people. And when God called the animals into the ark, they came.
Amen.
And it's reading a wonderful testimony of a man of God and how he started out. And for 13 years, he hadn't very many people. And then the Lord visited him and the Lord told him that he would bring the people. And 60 joined him in 1 week. 60 people. And then in a few months, there were 600. That's the way God can do it. But that would have to be God. There's no way that man could have done that. It had to be God. And many know that's right. But praise God. Let us turn first of all to the book of Acts. Just for a background and the book of Acts, and I want to read from chapter 9 from verse 1, just by way of a background. Everyone knows this portion, I'm sure. It's a very well known portion of scripture. And while you're looking it up, don't forget next Sunday with Brother Andrew Meacham. Next Sunday. I know it's come around quick, but it's next Sunday. Pray for the meetings. And we're just going to have the two Sunday meetings. It's hard enough to get to the two. Never mind three or four. And I'm sad to have to say that, but nevertheless, it's the truth. And I do believe this, and I'm going to say this. If people sit in the night visiting when there should be a church, they're wrong. If we're God's people, we're called the house of God.
Yes,
and if we can't bring ourselves to God's house, how can we bring the unsaved? God's people, just pray that God's people would catch a real vision. I tell you, we need one. Every one of us. Let's read from verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. And Saul yet braving out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, there they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was blind. Now, it was interesting what a brother said this morning. You could be reading in the blind. And here's a man at a visitation, and after he was blind. And to get him unblind, he needed another visitation. Do you ever think of that?
Amen.
The first visitation blinded him. The second one opened his eyes. Lord, give us another one.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. Verse 10. And there were a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Ain't that something?
Yes,
and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive a sight. Then Ananias had answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he have done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So his first visitation never filled him. But after he got a visitation, here one thing you notice, two things about it. He gets into a place called faith and he's praying. And then somebody has a vision and the power of God comes.
Yeah.
And he's filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And then his eyes open. I sincerely believe that when the Holy Ghost comes upon anyone, it's automatic eye opener. Amen.
Amen.
For the Bible says the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Amen. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight. Forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now that's just my background. What I want to preach tonight, and it's just a short message. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the work you've done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, we do thank you that we have obtained mercy. And we thank you for that mercy tonight. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bless us and meet with us afresh this evening. We thank you for the visitation of your Spirit this morning. For truly we can say you are amongst us. Father, visit us again tonight. Touch the heart of your people. If someone would hear this message, may they get saved and delivered and healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for the backslidden tonight that you'll work upon them and bring them back to thyself and restore them in the name of Jesus. I ask for those that are sick tonight who need your touch. We think of our brother Nigel and all his whole family. We ask that the hand of the Lord will be mightily upon them. Pray for Brother Keith as well. The hand of the Lord will be mightily upon them. Lord, for others tonight that need your touch, that maybe we don't know about, but we pray you'll heal them and touch them in Jesus' name. Pray for Kirsty at this time as well, the little one. Lord, that you'll bless them both and strengthen them. And Lord, bless Jamie Lee and the whole family. And grant that you'll move upon them and bless them and keep them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Lord, I now take the Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to read two verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1 for Acts. I wasn't maybe supposed to read the Acts, but I wanted then to read it to get a background for what I'm going to say tonight. And it's just one phrase I'm going to take from Timothy chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. Here's my text tonight. I obtain mercy. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So what I take for the text tonight, I obtained mercy. That's all I want to preach about tonight. Don't want to get way ahead or anything. Just that'll be it. He needed mercy according to his own confession. Paul needed mercy. Saul before he was Paul. He needed mercy. He was the chief of sinners. Verse 15 tells us that. He was a ringleader among the enemies of Christ. Nothing but mercy could meet his need. Nothing else could do it. He did not need more worldly wisdom or better man-pleasing life. He needed the mercy of God to forgive him his sin and to save his soul from death. Divine mercy covered all his deep, dire need. That's all that can do it. I tell you tonight, men and women need mercy. Men and women don't need more education. Men and women don't need more schooling. Men and women don't need to find this better or someone else better, but they need to find mercy. And it's only the mercy of Almighty God that will change us. And it's only the mercy of Almighty God that will save anybody.
Hallelujah.
And Paul the Apostle found this mercy. And I tell you, we've already read this story, what God done for him and what God did with him. And I tell you, he was no ordinary preacher. I want you to know that. Because my Bible says that special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. That's how much the Lord blessed him. He suffered because God said he would. But praise God. Psalm 13 verse 5 tells us, "But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." I trusted in the Lord's mercy. What are you trusting in tonight? I tell you, if you're trusting in a minister, or you're trusting in a church or an organization, every one of them things can fail. But Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. It's not what the song says. Everywhere I go, I want the world to know that Jesus Christ has never failed me yet.
Amen.
You know what mercy means? Mercy means compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power, compassion, pity, or benevolence. That's mercy. And I tell you, it was Jesus Christ that showed Paul mercy. This is a man that held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. This is a man that persecuted the church. This is a man that people preached the name of Jesus. He was there to persecute them. He was there to put you in chains. He was there to take you and persecute you. This is that man that God showed mercy to. This is the man that verse 15 says that he's chief of sinners and he needed God's mercy. I tell you, if God can save Paul, which was Saul, God gave him a name change as well.
Yes.
You know, William Branham was a big believer in changing people's names. He mentioned a lot of things about names, and he told certain people, change that young man's name, change that young woman's name. That's not a good name. And I tell you, there's some wonderful names, isn't there? Hallelujah! I could preach a sermon of all about names. If I was to think of Susanna Wesley tonight, I think that's a wonderful name. She was a special woman. She prayed for every one of her children every day. She spent hours praying for them. She led them to Jesus Christ. When every single one of them reached 5 years old, she learned every single one of the alphabet when they reached 5 years of age. Susanna Wesley. She was something else. We all hear about the man, but what about that woman? She was a woman of God, wasn't she? Thank God for a good name. Amen. I know I'm Thomas. Maybe Thomas Doubted. But the Lord still opened his eyes, didn't he?
Amen.
There's one thing about Thomas. He had an encounter with the real Hans.
Amen.
That's one thing he could say. He felt the touch of the hands of the Lord. Oh, I tell you something. That never changes. It does something for you when the hand touches you.
Yeah.
Praise God. I tell you, he obtained mercy. He did not obtain it by any works of merit. It was only obtained it just because God in his infinite grace gave it to him. He obtained it because he readily accepted the gift when it was offered to him. Many people are offered the gift but never accepted. Many people are told about the gift but they never accepted. But Saul was met by the Lord. Jesus preached to him himself. Wasn't that something? I tell you something. It was the Lord spoke to me in jail. There was no fella come in the jail and preached to me. It was the Lord himself. The Lord visited me. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord called me. Just saying to Brother Mark at the start of the service for 10 nights, I heard the footsteps and a voice spoke to me audibly for 10 nights. Now I'll tell you one thing. Every time the devil gives me a hard time, I just go back to that time. See, William Branham made a statement. He said, every one of us is an absolute. A typost. Now, you know God's your absolute, the Word of God, but you have a typost. That's what he meant to say. Every one of us is a typost. And your typost is where you met the Lord. You might have met a Lord in the church, you might have met him in your kitchen, you might have met him in a car, on a road somewhere, but you met the Lord. And every time the devil gives you a hard time, you can go back to that tie post. And you know you met the Lord. Thank God. He accepted the gift when it was offered him. There was no other way for us to obtain mercy than by receiving it. I want to quote you some scriptures, Ephesians 2, 7 to 9. For in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that none of yourselves is the gift of God. None of works, lest any man should boast. I tell you, when I saw a film last week of a man, and he told people, he said, "Have you prayed to Jesus and there's been no answer?" Then he said his name, and he said, "Try praying in my name." That was exactly what our brother preached this morning. That man's delusion. And then people are deceived. Because if they can amen that, they're deceived.
Amen.
They have to be blinded. And I'm going to tell you, there's no preacher will lift the scales on them, but only the Holy Ghost can do it.
Amen.
Just like he done it for Paul.
Amen.
I tell you, the Holy Ghost is able to do it. And lift the scales of their eyes. Aren't you glad you know Jesus this evening? Romans 8 and 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, them he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us? He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Paul obtained mercy. God chose him. He was chosen. And you're chosen. You were chosen in him. Are you hearing me tonight? You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He foreknew you. You were made by him and for him. God has a purpose for your life. God has a reason for everything. And the Lord loves you tonight. And we have obtained mercy. I have obtained mercy. He obtained mercy through Jesus Christ. Verse 15 tells us that in our text. There is none other name given under heaven. No other channel into heaven. No other channel from earth till heaven. But only through the stream of the blood of Jesus Christ can we come to God. No other way. Jesus said there's no other name. So when a man makes a statement that he can use his name.
Yes.
There's no other name. He's an apostate. An apostate. And there's many an apostate. But thank God for the real thing.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
And even as our brother said this morning, thank God that we, by God's grace, have saw in our day, and been fit to see, that God did send the spirit of Elijah. Amen. According to Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Matthew 17, 11, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7, and Hebrews 6. All them scriptures tied in. And Genesis 18. Every one of them ties to the message that God sent. You say all them scriptures, every one of them. Because the word came and discerned the thoughts and the secrets of the hearts, and God knew what people were thinking. That was Hebrews. In Genesis 18, Melchizedek met Abraham at the tent door with his back to the tent and knew the secret of his heart. God done that again. He done it again. It's proof of the resurrection, you know, what God done. Do you realize that? It's proof.
Amen.
It proves the resurrection, what God done. And I thank God for it with all my heart. And when you listen to that message, and you hear some other messages, you don't have to listen long, do you know? Which one's right and which one's wrong. Because one of them brings you to this book and the others don't. One of them glorifies Jesus. No creed but Christ. No book but the Bible. Paul received mercy. The only price by which we can obtain mercy is God's precious blood of Christ. When the Lord said to Saul, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks," it was his mercy called to surrender. God called Paul to surrender. And I tell you, he had such a visitation that he fell of his horse blind. He realized he had to get somebody to lead him for 3 days. And he never ate or drank for 3 days. That's a good way to start. Start on a fast for about 3 days. I'm telling you. People say, "I want this from God, I want that, and God's not doing this, not doing that." Look, I tell you, God was putting Paul in the position for he was going to use him. And I tell you, when you begin to fast and pray, that only one thing can happen. The Lord will speak to you and the Lord will visit you. Amen.
Amen.
It was his mercy called to surrender. The mercy and the victory came when Saul answered, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" That's when the victory came. God is rich in mercy through Jesus Christ the Son. That's where it comes from. Through Jesus Christ the Son, Acts 4 verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's the Bible. That's the absolute. Ephesians 2 and 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." Paul was afar off. Far from God. Persecuting the church of God. But he says, "I obtained mercy." I obtained mercy. I want you never to forget that. We're only here tonight because we can say, "I obtained mercy." I tell you, it's like my father once said, you know, when he wasn't serving the Lord and he was backslid. People said, "Will you not come back to the Lord?" If you never think about it, they would say, there's never a day that he didn't think about it. But you can't come of your own self. It's God that brings you. But when God does bring somebody, then you know it's really God. Amen? And I tell you, God brought Saul. God chose Saul.
Yes.
And this is Saul's testimony tonight. "I obtained mercy."
No.
And he didn't obtain it from anybody else, only the Lord Jesus. He obtained mercy that Jesus Christ might show forth all the suffering in him. Not only that he might be saved from a life of rebellion and coming wrath, but that he may become a lantern, a light lit. Like we heard this morning, to tell others. God doesn't call us to be a lit light that we hang under a bushel. God doesn't give us a talent that we take a spade and hang. God wants us to spread the news that Jesus saves. God wants us to spread the news that Jesus heals. He wants us to spread the news Jesus Christ coming again. And don't be afraid either to spread the news that Elijah's came and the church world turned and died. But God had a people that received it and believed it. And they called them heretics and all sorts of names. But it makes no difference. It was God that done this thing. I thank God tonight I can say with Paul the Apostle, "I obtained mercy." Mercy from the Lord. The long suffering of Christ was revealed to him and in him, that he might be revealed through him. The obtaining of mercy has to do with the honor and glory of God as well as with our salvation. Not only did Paul obtain mercy, not only did he suffer with the Lord, but I'll tell you, he received suffering. I'll tell you what he received. He received that he could say, "I didn't come unto you with excellency of speech or the taxing words of man's wisdom, but I come unto you in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost." That's what Paul could say.
Amen.
I tell you, Paul could preach all night long, and the Bible says he did. And a man fell out of a windy fall asleep. He fell down dead. And when Paul finished his sermon, he went down and picked them up and raised them from the dead, because the power of God was on Paul the Apostle. I tell you, he received mercy. Mercy from the Lord. Ephesians 2 and 7 and 8 tells us. Chapter 2 verse 7 and 8. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
A gift from God. Oh, I tell you, when God gives you a gift, it doesn't come back for it in a week, or a month, or a year. My Bible says that this gift is the gift of eternal life. If it is a gift of eternal life, you can't be lost.
Amen.
Ever. If you've received this gift, you can never be lost. You can do whatever you want, really. You won't if you're a real believer, but you can't be lost. And even a man that backslides is not lost. And I know that people preach saved and lost. I know people preach that, but I don't believe that. There's no scripture for it. Paul the Apostle was chosen. How could God choose someone, then lost them in a few weeks? David said that he backslid. We all know David backslid. But David never said, I lost my salvation. But he said he lost the joy of it. But he never lost the salvation, for it's eternal. Our salvation is not dependent on our works. It's a gift from God.
Amen.
Eternal life you receive when you get this gift. But we want to do whatever we can with it till the Lord comes. Here's another thing. He obtained mercy, that he might be a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him, Jesus Christ. Paul has shown us a pattern. Didn't Paul say, follow me, for I followed Christ? You say, I don't believe that. I'll tell you, but do it. Screw it, we followed Paul. Now, what Paul doesn't mean, follow me as a man, but he means, follow me as I followed Christ. That's what he means. How many knows that? And I tell you something. I heard a man one day, and he read up William Branham to no end. And there's a fellow who was there, and you know what he said to him? He said to him, brother, I'm just going to say one thing to you. He said, people said it was like being with Jesus when they were with William Branham. But he said, if anybody ever told you that, that's hung about with you for a couple of weeks, that it was like being with Jesus. And there was no more talk. And now we know William Branham wasn't Jesus. He was God's servant. And Paul was the same. But Paul said, follow me, for I follow Christ. Paul pointed you to Christ.
Amen.
William Branham pointed you to Christ. He says, I'm not the healer. I just represent him. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, I like the story when the man came to Jack Cove. And he says, I'm looking for the healer. And Jack Cole said, Jesus, there's a fellow here looking at you. And he says, no, no, I'm looking for the healer. And he said, Jesus, there's a fellow here looking at you. Amen. And he says, no, the man, the healer. And he said, he kept saying it. And Jack Cole said, I couldn't heal a fly but a headache. But he said, the Lord's the healer. The Lord's the healer.
Amen.
But don't forget one thing. The angel told William Branham, if you can get the people to believe you, not even cancer will stand before your prayer. Not even cancer. I tell you, God can heal people from cancer. Cancer's an awful thing. There's people dying with cancer and diagnosed with cancer in this day like no other day. We need a ministry of deliverance today, of healing. We need God to raise. It's a gift to heal, you know. How many believes that I'm preaching the truth tonight?
There's
lots of good preachers, but they've no desire for these things. But I believe in the full gospel. Just like George Jeffrey said, the Savior, the healer, the baptizer, and the Holy Ghost, and the coming King. Jeffrey's had it. That was a true statement he made.
Amen.
Absolutely the truth.
Amen.
And I believe it tonight. He obtained mercy that he might be a pattern for that which hereafter believe in him. And obtaining mercy, he not only became an exaltation of the grace of God, but an example to encourage all those who desire to trust Jesus Christ. With the view of obtaining that mercy, which means life everlasting. When you receive mercy, you're receiving a gift which is life, everlasting life.
Amen.
Life that can't fade, life that can't decay, life that when this life's over, you still have life. Life for that more abundantly. That's what everlasting life is. That's what you get when you receive mercy. And Paul said, I obtained mercy.
Hallelujah.
I obtained mercy. Thank God. I obtained mercy. Seeing then that the conversation of Saul is to be taken as a sample of the saving mercy of God, what great encouragement is there for the sinners of each age that believe in the Lord? I hear so many people saying, there's more temptation today, there's more this, there's more that, and that we're all finished now, and nobody's going to come. Well, I'm sorry to have to say it, but the God I'm serving still lives.
Amen.
And if you're going to tell me that it's too difficult for God, I'm going to preach against that.
Amen.
You say, why? I don't know. There's something in me that's against that. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that God starts with impossibility. Because what is impossible with man is possible with God.
Amen.
And all things are possible to them that believe. And I tell you tonight, keep on keeping on. And you shall be fit to say, I obtained mercy. I tell you, the Lord's able to save. The Lord's able to deliver. The Lord's able to save by the hundred or by the thousand or the 10,000. Our God's able. I believe with all my heart tonight that our God's able. Let me tell you this, what Abraham Lincoln said. It is said that Abraham Lincoln gave orders to his doorkeepers never to turn away anyone petitioning for life. All the doorkeepers of the house of God have the same instructions. If you're seeking life, eternal life, here is mercy for you. Have you obtained it? Abraham Lincoln said, don't turn no one away. The seeking life. And I tell you tonight, if anyone comes, God can save them and deliver them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was reading a testimony just this week. And there's a woman, you know, and she gets saved in a meeting. And she was a prostitute. The wee church wasn't too big. And she went down to where she lived and she told everybody that she was a prostitute and God saved her. And the minister was actually embarrassed. And he told her off. And he said, stop telling people you're associating with our church and tell them you're a prostitute. But when she arrived on the Sundays with a van load, she hired a bus herself. A bus. And she filled it. And she brought them to church. And she used to be a prostitute. And I tell you, people came in the hundreds because of that one woman. God only needs one person that can catch the fire. One person. One person that's willing to go out. One person that's willing to give their time for Jesus. One person that can catch the vision. God just needs one person. And God can use a prostitute, a drunkard. Sidney Murray was a drunkard. Lily Murray was a drunkard. I taped their testimonies. I got a hold of them a while back just so we could hear it again. Why did you do that, brother? Because we can forget too often what our God's able to do. Brother Gary sent me a powerful testimony of a Roman Catholic woman that the Lord got a hold of and saved. I tell you, you don't forget what God's able to do. Paul said, I obtained mercy. I tell you what's great, obtain mercy.
Hallelujah.
We need to be praying for others. I told you the Lord dealt with me in praying. The Lord's bringing me into a place of praying. I'm saying it tonight. Maybe I shouldn't mention it. But I tell you, we need to be praying like never before. Seeking God, waiting on God. If you've no time to pray, you need to stop something and pray. Stop what you're doing and take time to pray. Get away alone with God and seek the face of God. Pray to get stirred. Pray to get it free. I tell you, it's wonderful when the fear of God grips you. I tell you, it's so true what Brother John said this morning. The blow on them and the fall, the jump and the dance and all the rest of it. But I tell you, when God visited me in jail, I didn't do any of them things. I eventually fell out of my bed. I almost crawled under it. I wept before God. I cried before God. I repented before God. I wept for mercy. I was afraid. I tell you, you know when the angel came, you know what he says? Fear not. Every time in the Bible, fear not. Because you're going to be afraid. I tell you, Paul was afraid. Paul was afraid here. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Paul said, what will you have me to do, Lord? What am I going to do, Lord? Said Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. That's the name Paul was given. That's the name Paul was commissioned with. The name of Jesus. I tell you, there's the keys he was given. As we heard this morning, the keys of the kingdom. Oh, glory to God. God didn't finish with him there. He filled him with the Holy Ghost. He baptized him. I tell you how we need the fresh presence of God. You see here this morning in this service, I don't know if you could feel it or not. I don't know if you knew it or not. I don't know who felt it, who else in here, but I want to tell you that the Spirit of God come all over me this morning at the front of this meeting. And I felt it in my body. And it came into my hands and went right down through me. Right to my feet. And there's nothing like it in this world. There's no substitute for the power of God. Do you believe that tonight?
No.
Oh, I tell you. All the doorkeepers of the house of God have the same instructions. If you're seeking life, eternal life, here is mercy for you. Have you obtained it? Look at the first epistle of John, and I'm closing. Two scriptures and I'm closing. First epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11, the first epistle of John. This is a record that God have given to us eternal life. And this life is in the church. No. In the Pope. No. In the good man. No. In the best man. Yes. Jesus Christ. Special man. A chosen man. Oh, if you're just to talk about this man. The Bible says the books wouldn't hold those written about him. The Bible says, never man speak like this man. This man was called Jesus.
Amen.
We heard this morning how that the angel appeared to Joseph. And he said, fear not to take on to your married wife. Fear not! For that which is born of her is the Lord's Christ. That means the anointed one. The Lord's Christ, God's anointed one. Fulfilling the scripture. What was spoken from the Old Testament right into the New. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he hath anointed me. He hath sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To heal up the brokenhearted. That's what Jesus done. Now I want you to drop this in the night. And I want you to get this as simple. If Jesus was that and called to do that. And we preached Jesus and I preached it Wednesday night. If I ever lift it up, he'll do it again. Remember the keys. The ministry of Jesus has never changed. The message of Jesus has never changed. The power of Jesus has never changed. The presence of Jesus has never changed. He remains. means to see him. He says in Malachi 3, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Hebrews 13 it is, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. The unchanging God never changes his mind about his word, for it's perfect the first time. I tell you, he's the same. If we preach Jesus, we can expect the same results.
Amen.
Because if we preach Jesus the way they preach Jesus in the book of Acts, Jesus will do what he did there. We've saw it again. God did write a book of Acts in the 20th century, wrote another book of Acts. How many believes that? And I don't mean he wrote and left me another book, but you know what I'm saying? He did it again.
Amen.
I tell you, there's lots of people who can preach. But I tell you, when that man that God sent preached, he said, Lord, have I preached the truth? You come down and confirm it. I want you to think of it tonight. Think of it when a child comes before God's servant and he says, what color of eyes will you lack? That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's not the power of William Branham. That's the power of Jesus Christ. But he said he was there when he came. God done it to show us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God done it again. Why did God do it again? Had the Lord not done it before? Yes, God had done it before, but men forgot what God done. And God done it again. And I tell you, when you read them messages, it gives you fear. Because you're hearing the miraculous power of God on display. It's so wonderful, isn't it? I want you to be encouraged tonight. Verse 12 says, he that hath the Son of Life, and he that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. Verse 13, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know ye have eternal life. If you believe on his name, he wrote this so that you would know that you have eternal life. This is your assurance. Now if you have eternal life, you can't be lost. You might have a week you don't feel good. You might have a week you don't pray as much as you should. We all have had that. But it changes no fact at all of our position in Christ. For we have eternal life because of what he done. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What's God's will? Read it. Testament is an old English word for will. New Testament means the new will of God. Read the will. Amen. Read the will. Know the will. What's God's will say for you? God's will says that the promise is unto you and unto your children. And unto them that's afar off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. That's the promise of the Holy Ghost. It's for you. What's God's will say? Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick and shall recover. That's God's will. James says, call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil in the prayer of faith to save the sick. That's God's will. God's will says it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save. Didn't say please God through preaching some man's idea, but through the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
God will save. So if you want to see people saved, like baking a cake, you don't need to change the recipe to bake an apple tart. The apple tart you baked last week, you will bake it the same this week. The same materials will bake the same apple tart, the same time in the oven. Everything the same.
Yes, amen.
It's never changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God he's never changed his recipe.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts 2:38.
Right.
Repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Verse 15 says, and we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have, the petition we desire of him. Chapter verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. That we may know him that's true. So when you hear the false, you don't know. You understand? You don't know it, but you know him that's true. Why? Because he speaks the truth. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God.
Amen.
And we are in him that is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the true God.
Yes.
Now this is calling Jesus Christ God. Can you get that? This is the true God, and we, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. I find it simple, but yet with all its
truth.
Hallelujah. It's the truth. I obtained mercy. I tell you, you have obtained mercy tonight. I don't want warnings to give up on nobody. Oh, you hear me tonight? You know, there's people in our own meeting and they're running from God. I'm serious about it. God's wanting to use them, but they're too busy. They're on the run. You have to watch when you're on the run. I'm telling you. Now there's maybe some people that are not here, but they're on the run. Jonah was on the run. Look what happened. Look what happened. David says, where shall we go from his presence? Man said to me, I have given up. I have given up. I'll tell you one thing. When you give up, the Lord hasn't given up. Do you know that? The Lord's never given up. I'll tell you, the Lord never given up on this fellow here when he's in jail. In jail. This man here in the Bible, Paul, persecuted the church. God never gave up on him. The Lord got a hold of him. You see, sometimes you just need a bigger experience. But there's one thing I'm going to tell you, God can give them it. Even if he has to send an angel, he's able to do it. Because all through the Bible he's done it. Many times he sent angels and messengers. And the Bible says we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Many of us entertain angels unawares. Let's be praying that God will move in our meetings. And that God will save people. Let's come stand our feet tonight. I obtain mercy. Mercy to help in the time of trouble. Mercy to help in the time of need. I obtained it. Is that your testimony tonight? You know, you can ask God for mercy. Many times we need the Lord to help us. Let's close our eyes and we're going to pray and our brother's going to come. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for your word tonight. For your word is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, tonight David said, where should we go? We go down to hell, you're there. We go up to the heavens, you're there. For you're everywhere. Where shall we go from thy presence, O Lord? Father, I pray you bless your people tonight. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's under this voice tonight, that you bless them and touch them. In the name of Jesus Christ, grant mercy to my sister. Grant mercy to my brother. Oh Lord, touch thy people once again. Father, you know those tonight that's playing the running game. Lord, I pray that you'll send somebody along the roadside and speak to them that they'll run for you. Heavenly Father, speak to that man, speak to that woman tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them. And you're the same Lord Jesus tonight. Bless us, everyone now. Bless the song leader as he comes. Bless the deacons, bless the elders. Bless every boy, every girl, every man and every woman under this roof tonight. Lord, if there's a man or woman listening in to this message and they don't know Jesus Christ, may they turn to you tonight, Lord Jesus. Repent of their sins and call upon the name of the Lord. Father, I pray you'll heal those that need your touch this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Now, Father, part us for thy blessing and the hand of the Lord upon us. But do you ask for the meetings that lie ahead, that you'll move amongst us. Help every one of us to seek your face. Bless our brother Andrew Beecham as he comes. Prepare him, Lord, and prepare your people. May it be a special time, we pray. And may you get all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one.
Sing that hymn, The Comforter Has Come. Mm-hmm.